WrestleTalkRadio.com.
This is Rob Van Dam. You are listening to WrestleTalk Radio. Oh.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment, WrestleTalk Radio.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
This is the Rated R superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho.
I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake!
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling in the WWE.
It was right here in this room my father taught me. He said, keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
TNA.
What are you looking at, lady? Never seen a pair of boots before? Mind your business.
I think that's a man.
Well, she needs a wax or something.
You're right.
Ew.
And the indie scene.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Box.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
Hey, everybody, this is good old JR Jim Ross.
With your host, Tim Stein.
Your internet slow. Did you disable cookies?
Omega.
Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who is the fairest one of all?
Mace.
Why so serious?
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
Did you know I'm utterly insane?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Have a nice day.
Yeah, baby.
Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Tonight, it was WWE Battleground, an appropriate name as just in war, there were no winners tonight. And we have opinions about that. First off, I am Omega, the be-all, end-all of our little network. And joining me tonight, there's Mace.
Insert funny non sequitur here.
Well done. And, well, as far as the hosts go, that's pretty much it. As our Tim's, official Canadian is MIA, and our guest from the rack, Lindsay, is dead tired.
Yes, so, you know, no Tim, no Lindsay. I think we have a producer, maybe.
Hi. I'm here.
Hi.
Hi. Did you all enjoy? Did you enjoy In Your House, Beware of Goat?
No, but I enjoyed football tonight.
And there's more football to come too. If you have the NFL Network, a game starts in like 25 minutes. Oh, what you get for baseball and football at the same time? Hey, everybody, we're here to talk wrestling. It's Wrestle Talk Radio, and we have a pay-per-view to get into that was, well, different. It's the best way to put it.
It was something.
Different.
It was 3 hours?
No, it wasn't even 3 hours.
Almost, but if you include the pre-show, it was like almost over, a little over 3 hours. Oh, wow. It was a show to remember, I guess. For good and for the bad. Especially for the power outage, which we'll get into.
Jeez.
Because that was a moment.
The Undertaker was backstage tonight, and he dropped his hands by accident.
It was the Super Bowl all over again. Can we tell you?
I thought Sin Cara tripped over a power cable.
But no, supposedly it was
Lil H.
What was Lil H plugging in his hairdryer?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something like that. Oh, it was a night. It was a night, and it started out with the pre-show. And on the pre-show, we saw Dolph Ziggler, and we saw Damian Sandow. What did you think about the match, Mace?
It was a match. Yeah, okay, here's the thing. Here's the thing for this entire show, from pre-show to ending. It was a match. It was what we sort of expected. This was motion running at its finest.
I will say this, they had some good chemistry between the two. That was for sure.
To be expected by guys of that caliber.
This is true. You had Damien Sandow injured at the tail end of the match, which plays into later on the show. And, well, Dolph Ziggler was able to pick up the victory. Yeah, it was a match. It was a match. The one thing.
See? I'm right. It was just a match.
It was a match. And, you know.
Expectations were none.
Here's one thing that needs to stop. We know the Fame Master was created by Billy Gunn. Stop telling us. That's all.
No. The thing that needs to stop is, we're giving you a match for free. We've got 20 minutes outside of this match to pimp our pay-per-view. It's the middle of the match. Let's pimp our pay-per-view. Why can't you just show us the fucking match? You've got 20 other minutes in this pre-show to pimp your fucking pay-per-view. Why do it right in the middle of the match?
Because that's when the
most... Clearly, if you are watching a pre-match with the WWE Battleground logo and the countdown clock and the Battleground ring apron and the Battleground set, they don't want you to forget that Battleground's coming up.
It's Sunday Night Heat, remember this.
I actually miss Sunday Night Heat.
Oh, I think a lot of us do it.
After tonight, I'm starting to miss Velocity. Are you kidding me?
Velocity.
I don't know. This sounds like something from WCW Saturday Night Pro, but...
Alright, let's not go that too far. WCW main event on Sundays. Get it right. Come on now. Let's not do
Shotgun Saturday?
Not Shotgun Saturday. No. No. That would have to be outside and then... Well, they were in New York, so maybe. And there were dim lights, so maybe. Tonight, Saturday night, Shotgun Saturday night was the pay-per-view. Yeah, Ziggler won. It was a match. It's what the show's all about tonight.
Yeah. Damien Sandow lost. In other news, water is wet.
And Subway was still high from last night. In our opening contest on the actual pay-per-view, it was Rob Van Dam, Alberto Del Rio, Hardcore Rules. Now this, I was going over with Lindsay last night of what should the order be. I was like, I don't know. I thought Bray Wyatt should open because, well, anything else on the card's just a match. But then you think, oh yeah, the world title, that opens pay-per-views, and well, it opened tonight. What do you think?
It definitely opened tonight. I didn't know.
There were definitely two guys in the ring.
Yeah, pretty much.
And an audience around them.
It was a match. Seriously, like this was supposed to be a hardcore match. I went to Melbourne City Wrestling's 30-year anniversary on Saturday night, and I saw better hardcore and ladder matches and everything else there than what I saw in tonight's pay-per-view. And it cost me about the same for both.
You spent your pennies wisely.
Very much so. You know, I didn't realize that, you know, the most that we were going to see was, you know, Van Damme kicking a steel bin. Very obviously going to miss a Van Terminator?
Van Terminator, yes. Coast to coast, you know.
Because we all know that when Van Damme actually holds the chair when he decides to do the kick, he's going to fucking miss.
And the
most extreme thing was, oh look, Del Rio's on a ladder outside of the ring. I'm going to do a frog splash. Which was actually very well done.
It was a nice spot.
But, you know, hardcore, you could be a bit more creative. We know Van Damme can be creative in a hardcore match. This just... It was a wrestling match with a couple of props. This was a stage production. I expected them to start dancing and singing at some point.
Well, you had Ricardo out there, so...
Him with his bucket. Hell yeah.
He had his bucket.
Go, Ricardo. You go with that bucket, man.
He had his bucket, and yeah. He got into it with Del Rio a bit. Got taken out. And then with the finish of the match, which was really interesting, you had Van Damme land on it face first onto his chair, his arm was trapped, and well, Del Rio went on to attack, kicking him in the head, then stomping on the chair with his arm inside. and then locking in the armbreaker for the victory. I like the finish.
Yeah, the finish was good. Like, it was a nice little way to say bye-bye, Van Damme.
Uh-huh, pretty much.
We're gonna make you tap out like a bitch to Del Rio, but at least you're going to make it look somewhat injury-making.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by doing the whole trapping in the chair bit, that definitely gives them an injury reason to take Van Damme out of the picture.
Which is something you needed, because, as everyone knows, he's on contracts that run on a cycle. Some people say, oh, his contract expired. No, he runs on a cycle, so he'll be in, he'll be out, in and out, that sort of thing.
He got the Jericho deal, 90 days on, 90 days off, or something like that.
And that's okay, he'll be back in the Rumble. That's all we care about. Road to WrestleMania with Rob Van Dam.
Haven't he done that road before and sort of got pulled over when he was on it?
Shut it!
That was the road to SummerSlam, not Mania. Road to SummerSlam.
Oh, well, he travels the same road every
Swagger
time.
Swagger was the one who did that on the road to WrestleMania.
He must have been following Van Damme.
We the people. Speaking of Jack Swagger, he is in our next contest. The real Americans take on Santino Marella and the Great Khali.
Now, this is something that should have been on the pre-show or starting the show.
Yeah.
Come on, no. You need... No. You have to make people pay to see the giant swing.
That's what I mean. You start the pay-per-view. This should have been your opener just for that goddamn swing. straight up, the rest of the match doesn't matter. All that matters is that goddamn swing at the end.
Because it's Khali and Santino and Swagger, who is always overbooked. It's just, that's really all you had going for this match.
They mentioned during the match that Wednesday, which I thought was impressive, he did to Brodus Clay, which was really impressive. And then you go, he did it to the Great Khali. What?
Yeah, and you could tell afterwards that Cesaro's going, get me the ice. My back is killing me. But damn, it was impressive.
That was surely impressive. Swagger tried to rip up the Cobra that Hornswoggle had and kind of failed at it. Poor Swagger.
Jeez.
But yeah,
they're really.
Go ahead.
It feels like they are really, really not booking the real Americans very well. Because you put them in the ring against Khali and Santino, and oh yeah, these are the comedy guys. This will make these are good for a laugh. But once you get them in the ring, that ends. You know, it's they just kind of become jokes at that point. So you're getting the fans to go, well, here's the real Americans. Cesaro's got this giant swing that's getting him over as hell right now. And they're up against two guys that, once they start wrestling, you stop caring. For the booking that they have, for the gimmick,
mm-hmm.
for the over-racism gimmick, they're in real danger of getting them over too much with that gimmick. Just because they are not booking them well right now.
Yeah, this is true. The Great Khali and Santino Marella lost to the Real Americans via the giant swing and a roll up. For those counting score at home, the one question I want to ask to both of you is: speculation is abound that there's talk of breaking this duo up and giving Antonio Cesaro a push on his own. Good idea.
Do it.
Ah, do it.
Break them up. Cesaro, push, championships, go.
Yeah. This was kind of a mongrel team to begin with. It's like, well, we don't really have any idea for Cesaro. And the five language thing, guess what? Didn't get over.
No, it didn't quite get over.
No. So, goody. Break them up because one is drastically more talented than the other.
Yeah, we know. Yeah,
and by the way, keep Zeb with Swagger.
Yeah.
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 It made no sense to me in the first place. Oh, I hate all foreigners, except for this fellow. What?
It's like him bringing Ricardo into the group. It makes no sense.
You're not kidding. It's like, okay, let's... Here, let's bring Santino. Let's bring Santino into this group. He ain't brown. He Italian. That's close enough.
And our new member to the real Americans, Sin Cara.
that's
just
too
much. As much sense.
It's like no, because it's like no, because yeah, he hates them border crossers, right? So he's like Fox News. So it's like. You put Yoshitatsu in because he's foreign, but he's pale as a sheet, so he's good.
Just bring over a Canadian.
Well, that's why you bring in Santino. He's Italian and Canadian.
No. You do something like a completely stupid and obvious. You have him go, Bret Hart is a great American. Right, have another swig, Zeb.
Well, it would be hysterical, though, if they brought in Bret Hart like that. It's like, well, he spent the 90s as a heel because he's all Canadian. I spent this era as a heel because he's all American. Brilliant. And you know what? I wouldn't put it past the WWE these days.
No, I wouldn't either. That's the scary thing about it.
Speaking about America, this is taking the time out to congratulate America's team, the Dallas Cowboys, for the victory today. Oh. Wait. They lost. My bad.
That was forced.
Yeah, I know, but... And I got the reaction I wanted. So, moving on, like I said...
Thank God for games that happen while I'm asleep.
It was a great game. The finish was great. The score was like 51-48 or something like that.
Wait, did the Big Show come out in that one too and punch somebody and then they ended on it?
No, Tony Romo once again threw an interception.
Jeez.
Doing what he does best.
The football, more rigged than wrestling.
It's best for business.
Yeah, but that's talk of America's team. Also, Lita is in America. She's a whore. See, you can't make those transitions, Rock.
Well, I can here. Lita and Edge were the greatest power couple in WWE history, according to their poll today.
Bullshit! Bullshit!
You had a couple running the fucking company twice!
I'm sorry. Stupid people. Ah. What? So we now know that the average WWE fan hasn't watched wrestling past like any further back than what, 2006?
Mm-hmm. The choices, I believe, were the Triple H and Stephanie, Macho and Liz, Edge and Lita, and there was one other.
King Booker and Queen Chanel.
Oh God, that duo.
If he's the greatest Intercontinental Champion of all time, maybe he's the best power couple of all time too.
He was the greatest. I wouldn't
put it past.
He's greatest world champion.
He's world champion. Okay, I knew it was something stupid.
He's a five-time WCW champion.
But the votes came out as Edge and Lita winning. Followed by Triple H and Steph. Well, that's understandable given that they're in the current storyline. And it was like 16% for Savage and Liz and 5% for Booker and Charmel. That's understandable. But Savage and Liz, come on, it's one of the most famous couples in WWE history.
Yeah.
Arrgh!
Yeah, it's a WWE poll.
Yeah, I was expecting Triple H and Steph to win with maybe Savage and Liz coming in second.
Mm-hmm.
Edge and Lita? What the fuck?
Everyone still is enjoying that live sex celebration.
I bet most of those people wouldn't even remember that it happened.
No, they remember a titty showing up, and that's about it.
This is going to be the awkward transition. Speaking of boobs, Paul Heyman leads Curtis Axel to the ring to take on R-Truth.
Oh yeah, speaking of tits.
And you got it wrong. It's not Paul Heyman. It's the Paulrus.
The Paulrus, yes.
Cuckoo-ca-choo.
R-Truth, Curtis Axel. Again, Mace.
It was a match.
It's one of those things. It was a match. It happened, and the finish was, huh?
Yeah, pretty much. It was just, this is a match. It's filled time. It gave me a chance to go and get my noodles. Yay. Curtis Axel still has the belt that means absolutely nothing.
Omega. Glad that R-Truth got on pay-per-view?
It'd have been nice if they actually had a build or reason for the match.
Well, R-Truth beat them, so... That's and then R-Truth did some weird eyes on SmackDown. Like he was the Undertaker or something.
They had Truth playing a black preacher in their next commercial for Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, they did.
That's racist!
He came out in a Confederate uniform a few years ago.
Yeah, he did.
At this point, I shouldn't be surprised.
And speaking of which, here we go. Let's take a listen to the promo that Mace was talking about.
Brothers and sisters, I have seen hell. For hell is not some far place.
No.
Hell is right here on earth. Not fire and brimstone. Five tons of twisted metal and evil intention.
A 20-foot tall behemoth built by the wicked.
And ruled by the ruthless. Brothers and sisters, this is the wretched fortress where the sins of man come to bear. You come for salvation? Well, you won't find it here.
And there you go. Oh.
Creative. Get off the drugs. Get back on the drugs that you had a couple of weeks ago when this shit was entertaining.
Can we rehire little Jimmy?
Totally.
And seriously, what happened? He was there one week, and the next week he's just vanished.
Truth found his annex.
Pretty much.
So anyway.
The invisible child vanished. That's a joke. Hello? I'm trying to pull entertainment out of this pay-per-view. God damn you people.
It's not working, dude. What happened next, Rock?
We're gonna get this done in like a half hour short show tonight.
Let's just go.
Brie Bella took on AJ Lee, who had Tamina in her corner. Nikki was in Brie's corner for the Divas Championship. I thought this match was alright.
I thought it was a small fest.
I actually thought this was Brie has improved in the ring. As you can see from where she started a couple of years ago.
Well,
she's learned.
Yeah.
She's made some good strides, as it were.
And who's her fiancé?
Well, there's a reason.
Does it surprise you that she's gotten better in the ring?
No, it doesn't surprise me. It's a good thing, because we need people who can actually wrestle.
Except for the start of this match was just very... typical diva match. Then you got a little bit of actual wrestling at the end, and then right at the end it was like, okay.
Tamina showed off her strength by grabbing Nikki, choking her, distracting Brie, allowing AJ to pick up the victory. I think the pairing of Tamina and AJ will work.
Yeah, but does it, like, to be honest, you could have put Big E Langston back in there, and I wouldn't have noticed.
Yeah, just Big E can't touch the women.
Tamina looks like Big E, just actually female.
Which is good, because she can actually touch the females, unlike him.
Yeah, I suppose. Mind you, the one thing that sort of that actually made me go, ow, was AJ pushing Brie along the apron into the ring post.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I'm like, ooh, that's nice. 2K, can you put that in the video game, please?
Yeah, we appreciate it very so much. Yeah, so AJ retains the title. Now we're going to get into something
good.
Thank
God.
Now, this is the heart, the meat, the center of the pay-per-view. The family saga, the Rhodes family saga, comes to a head as it's Cody Rhodes and Goldust taking on the shield of Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins. This match was tremendous.
I think you got the teams wrong, though. It was the Shield versus Cody Rhodes and Super Saiyan Darth Maul.
That's right. That's right.
Disney gonna sue somebody.
This was a match.
I found the comparison photo, and it's like it's almost spot on.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, this is the match most people probably were looking for to besides the main event tonight. And this match,
you want to know why that is? It's this thing called personal investment.
Yeah.
I know.
When you get a real personal story like this, people actually get interested.
No.
Yeah. It's called emotional investment. It is finding something appealing in a storyline and getting really attached to the idea of it actually happening.
All right, I'm going to write this stuff down to note it down for future reference. Emotional investment. Got it.
Yeah, so basically, in terms of wrestling this match, really well done. And we got our happy ending, and we got a bionic elbow, by God.
The
pop from the crowd, the fucking commentators, everybody for that bionic elbow, man. It was like God himself came down and struck Dean on the head.
Mm-hmm. We were talking to Brian Shields on Thursday about this match, and yeah, I was like, you gotta see the bionic elbow. It only makes perfect sense. And it did. He hit the bionic elbow, and the crowd went crazy. But yeah, Goldust's face was weird, and this match, they got you involved. I was worried going in that they weren't going to be able to tell this good of a story, but the crowd really got behind them. It was tremendous.
This match was everything it needed to be for how emotional the storyline has been, for just how personal and how very forefront it's been.
Mm-hmm.
In the few weeks. This match was like a perfect payoff. Like, this was everything that storyline needed to lead up to. It was a really well done match. Everyone was on point. I mean, you have Goldust going up for a flying crossbody, which I didn't think he would do anymore. And Cody hitting a moonsault. It looked like THQ programmed that, because that moonsault is too good to exist in real life.
Yeah, I agree.
Just beautifully performed. Great ending, great emotion. Completely ruined by The Miz going, I want to be the first to congratulate you. And I'm like, the locker room beat you to it.
Well,
we all saw it, Miz.
He was the first one to verbalize it.
No, Kofi Kingston was.
All right, verbalize it with a microphone.
And the people coming out at the end was just the icing on the cake. That was that was your slow clap movie moment that really needed to emphasize everything that went on with this feud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was just the feel good moment of the whole pay-per-view.
You had
Thank God for that, because we didn't get much after this.
You had Cody Rhodes hit the crossroads to a huge pop from the crowd, the biggest of his career, and he was able to get the victory. They get their jobs for now.
You know what? A part of me did sort of sit back and go, yeah, we're probably going to get the for now moment. Like, I'm expecting something at Raw tomorrow to sort of get back at them for winning, but you know what? That's tomorrow.
I'm enjoying tonight.
Tomorrow,
the thing's going to get overturned, and then people will call up Cox Cable and want their money back.
That's fine, as long as the power doesn't go out.
Jeez. My Twitter feed was going nuts with Mark's going, oh, please, Cody, don't swerve. Don't heel turn. I had other person go, please, Goldust, don't heel turn. It's like someone saw both and jokingly asked for Dusty to heel turn. Like, now I'm waiting for like this moment where like everyone decides to try and turn heel at the same time, not knowing that any of the others are planning to.
It is the Rhodes family.
Everyone in the family just immediately goes to punch someone else in the other family. Because
uh-huh.
that moment, you know, we've all been there.
Mm-hmm.
But still, no, I was thrilled. Like, this is like the one match where if there was a swerve or any kind of twist, or it was like, oh my god, you know, Goldust was in on it the whole time. It was like, oh god, I would have been so pissed off. No, this was everything it needed to be. It ended the right way. It was well performed. It was emotional. It was god, this. You know, it's not hard to steal this pay-per-view, but even on a really good pay-per-view, this would have stolen it.
I would agree.
Indeed.
It was just a great moment having Dusty out there with his boys. It was one of those moments like we had on Raw, them all out together, and now, you know, they're all got to celebrate on pay-per-view together. It's one of those moments that probably won't happen ever again.
Yeah, now we just gotta see how long they want to keep Goldust around this time.
Yeah.
Supposedly his short term has him going to WrestleMania.
So. Which is fine, as long as we get, you know, Goldust versus Cody, which I believe is the idea.
I hope so. Like, they've been talking about that for years now.
So we shall see if that actually comes about. But on that note, we're going to take our first and only timeout of the evening. You're listening to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio that doesn't have a Canadian because, well, he's under the weather. So you just got us three. We'll be back talking more wrestling, more Battleground right after this. This is WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wall Talk Radio Network.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns,
after 7 long years, finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw!
To the shocking moments. And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Law Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Are you serious? That's the number two.
That's currently number seven. It was number two at one point.
Apparently it's big or something, but I don't know what the fuck it is. It sounds like a dick bang or something. Techno gangbang. Maybe the world needs fans. End of the world Gangnam style.
Weird.
Wow.
Comes popular. Like, I swear I've heard all about this stuff, but I don't... I was like, what is this, like a... fucking martial art or this type of food or something? I don't know what the hell it is. Is it sexual position? I play my, you know, work schedule and whatnot, but...
Watch the video.
Okay, let me get the video then.
What the fuck? Oh, I thought the people were going to be showing up at the party. Oh, you Gundam style over here.
That's horse you have, that's horse
you. Gundam style. Gundam style.
Oh, not the pelvic thrust. Is that Mr. Ceiling in the sky?
Oh, they're riding that pony.
Yeah, I don't know.
800 million. Oh, I'm scared for the future.
Yeah. This is why I don't go to clubs and dance, because I can't do this shit. Hey, I make sure the club's staying still. I'd lean on that wall. I make sure I got drinks in my hand, and I make sure that club's staying still.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be dreaming about him.
Oh, man, damn it. Now I got to... You gotta play something else, Rock. Wake up and start riding the damn donkey.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
God bless our Made in America.
Every Thursday night, we bring to you The Rock.
These people yearn for enlightenment. Who do they have to turn to? Who do they have to place upon a pedestal so that they may bask in the glow of their own essence? In short, the answer is no one.
We bring you a complete recap of Impact Wrestling, along with all of the latest news and unique discussions about the world of professional wrestling.
Sure, there are those who attempt to appeal to the unwashed masses, but they are nothing more than false prophets whom I will expose.
Join us Thursday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern, for The Rock.
I am the bright beam of enlightenment that will serve as the avenging sword of taste and decency.
Redefining pro wrestling talk from the fans, for the fans, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You're welcome!
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, the whole fucking show, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio on the Wild Talk Radio Network, boo.
talk about next.
Wait for me, I'll be there in a minute. I'll catch up.
You don't have much time.
I'm not here, I'm over there.
You're over there? Okay.
I'm over there.
Welcome back, everybody. And we're back here to talk about Bray Wyatt and Kofi Kingston.
It was a match.
It was a match. It was better than the Inferno match. From a couple months
Not
ago.
Not hard.
From a couple months ago. We got to see the spider walk that he did out of the corner, which was impressive, even though he fell at the very end of it. Crossbody he did was impressive, as always. The crowd got into it towards the end, which was good, because you don't see that often with the Wyatt matches. The crowd sort of slow, and not slow, rather. They don't get behind it as often, but what do you guys think?
It was a match. To me, it was just very average. I don't know what it is about Bray's wrestling style that just sort of makes the match sort of slow to a crawl. I know that he does the old school methodical style. He pretty much the same style I use. But just to see it in action just doesn't seem to... It doesn't mesh well with a fast guy like Kofi Kingston.
They haven't found the right opponent for him yet.
Yeah. That's pretty much it. They haven't found the right person. Kofi definitely isn't the right person.
Yeah, because Kofi is very high impact, very fast paced. But then you've had Kane, who is also very methodical and power style. And those are two complete opposite ends of the spectrum, and neither one works for Wyatt.
He's an interesting case. I've talked to Lindsay about this, as she's, you know, likes the Wyatts. We've talked about this multiple times. It's like, you have to find the right guy for him, and Kane's too big. And Bray's in a position where he's not the biggest guy, but his weight says he should wrestle a big guy's style, but he's, what, 6'3", I believe? So it's like, he works a slow, methodical style like a big guy would, and it's, you gotta find the right guy. And it's hard with everyone who probably could work doing other things.
See, I could see him probably working Cesaro or Swagger, and putting on a very good match. But I think Bray needs to sort of change his style up a little bit. Sort of be the focused killer. You know, pick a body part, work it to death.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, yeah, this match really made the whole thing of Bray still needs to find the right opponent to go up against thing really apparent.
And that's been the ongoing struggle.
This was sort of like a beatdown type thing you'd expect to see on Raw.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
But it was a lot longer than what you would have seen on Raw. I think if you... See, that's the problem with it. It's like, if you really wanted him to beat him down, it could have taken less time. They were in a position where they had to fill some time, and... I don't know. The match was fine. There was nothing wrong with the match. Just... You're missing something.
Yeah. Bray's not a long... Like, you don't give a guy like Bray, you know, 10 to 15. You give him 6 to 8,
and
the maximum.
The match went 8 minutes.
Well, there you go. And even that fell.
So maybe...
Okay, so maybe you need to drop back to maybe 6.
Maybe 6.
Okay, here's a problem with Bray Wyatt's wrestling style. You can't use him for, like, more than 5 minutes.
Pretty much.
Here's the thing. Okay, if he doesn't work with big guys, and he doesn't work with fast guys, and you need to keep him under 5 minutes, what the fuck good is he? I heard so many good things about Bray Wyatt coming up from NXT, and I was really looking forward to seeing him. Honestly... The character I'm interested in. Character I really like. when as soon as the bell rings, I don't give a fuck.
It's more like that down in NXT, there are guys between 6 foot and 6 foot two, 6 foot four, that probably work a slower style, can not as quick as a Kofi Kingston, and can take the bumps.
Correct. Look how specific you're getting, though.
Yeah, but that's like, the unfortunate.
You know, a good worker can work with anyone.
Yeah, but when was the last time that we have seen a good worker come out of the WWE developmental system that hasn't been from Ring of Honor?
It's been a
my point exactly.
Hang on. There's someone.
All right, as Omega digs through WWE.com to find the answer. Would you agree with this? to work his sort of style, he needs more crowd interaction. Where he has to interact with the crowd, get them to boo him.
Yeah, but the only way that would happen is if he goes the cheap heat route, and that's not what you want to do with these type of people.
You don't need cheap heat, really. You can, preach to them and that sort of thing. Just get some sort of emotion out of him. Because that could, have him hit a big move and slow him down a bit, slow the match down, where you don't have to focus move with him. Because he seems like that type of guy where it doesn't need to be move.
No, he just sort of needs to come in, focus, hit finish, preach.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what he did in NXT. His matches never went for any more than 3-4 minutes. He'd come in, they'd try and get the upper hand, he'd barrel through them, hit his finish, and then start preaching.
Right.
And that's what got him up.
Right, and to answer...
But here, because he's on the main roster, they're expecting longer matches, they're expecting him to push a lot more. Whereas they really need to just look at what they did with him in NXT and go, we're just going to take that, pick it up, put on Raw, go forth.
And to answer your question, this comes from Lindsay, AJ Lee. She came from FCW.
Yeah, all right. I'll give you that one. But, yeah, some of us know where she really came from. But, yeah.
Okay, but, it wasn't Ring of Honor. It wasn't Ring of Honor.
It wasn't Ring of Honor, so I will give her that. Good way to find a loophole. Good on you, Chris Jericho.
There you go. Like, the gimmick is amazing. It really gets you invested. And the preaching afterwards was great. It's tough. He's in a tough position because part of it's his size. That, he's 300 pounds, 6'3". If he was, 6'5 and 300, he would work a little bit better. There's more of a broad gap for him. He's just awkward a little bit.
He's today's Mick Foley.
Yeah. But McFoley...
Kinda.
But
McFoley can still work more people than Bray can, though.
Because he was fatter.
but take a look at how long it took for Foley to get over, though. He went... Remember his days as Mankind. He had a very limited opponent set.
He did.
True. But still, keep making excuses. Well, he's this certain size and weight. He can't work someone fast. He can't work someone big. There's just so many things to apologize for him for. I mean, I'm only willing to go so far here. Like, I will give him a lot of leeway because I really like the persona. But eventually, he has to perform.
Could this mean the end?
No. Bottom line, it's a wrestling industry. He has to show what he can do as a wrestler.
Hold on, wait. You wrestling in WWE?
I gotta write this.
Did you hit your head and wake up in a different century, dude? Because a lot of guys get over from just being entertaining on a microphone and not actually wrestling. And I'm feeling the glare through the monitor.
And that's the bottom line. Anyway, it's tough. He's in a tough spot. And that's really all you can say about him. He's in a tough spot, and I would assume the next 6 months are either make it or break it for him. Honestly.
Yeah, 6 months, definitely. And the unfortunate thing is, I want to see the, the other boys wrestle a bit more. Like, all the focus has been on Bray. The big thing about it is the other guys are a really good tag team. We need to see more of them in the ring.
Right, and they haven't been impressive. There's been something missing with their matches, too, but what they did on main event this past Wednesday was actually more of a good style for them. They slowed it down and really worked the match. Unlike on what's been on Raw and SmackDown, where it's been boom, 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 move, 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 we're out of here. If you let them actually work, they're pretty good. So maybe you focus on them for a little while until you find the right guy for Bray.
Yeah. So, WWE guys, we know you usually listen in case you haven't blacked out again. There's your idea. Go forth. Steal our shit as usual.
Pretty much. Bray Wyatt won, by the way. In case anyone was wondering out there that he actually did win. Up next, Ryback, Punk, with Goldberg chant included.
Yay. I'm actually quite shocked. This is the first time in a long time I have not been entertained with a CM Punk match.
It was hard to get into. I don't know what it was. It was...
Yeah. Again, as seems to be the whole thing with this pay-per-view, it was lacking something. There was something missing. There's something that could have been better, but you can't exactly put your finger on it.
Like, they executed everything they were doing. Paul Heyman coming out doing the promo mid-match was different and fun. But it was like, okay, you put Ryback in control, it's like, it's Ryback. Or Goldberg, as the crowd kept chanting for. I don't know, something's up with a Ryback-led match, I guess. Something that gets quiet and not saying a word.
Meh.
Insightful? What do you think?
Punk Ryback?
Yeah.
Eh.
Eh? Nothing more than that? Eh?
I don't know. Not really. I mean, aside from Paul Heyman being Paul Heyman, which is always entertaining, it felt like a match I could have seen on Raw. I mean, there's only so much you can do with Ryback.
And usually it helps when you put weapons involved, and there was no weapons except for the end. But it was like one of those matches where it's like, I don't know. The crowd got into her Punk, and then when Punk was not on the offense, it was just slow.
Somewhere between Ryback being really slow and limited in his ring set, and Punk still being hurt and on the mend, there wasn't a whole lot that could have saved this one.
All right, I'm going to throw this poll out there for people and get your opinion on it. What match would you rather see, Ryback versus Bray Wyatt or Ryback versus The Undertaker? And go.
God.
How about neither?
If you only had the choice between one of those two matches, which would you rather see?
So what NFL game's playing? Because I'd be switching the fucking channel. Is the price is right on?
all right, I'll add a third option: Ryback versus Goldberg.
What else is on?
Between Ryback being Ryback and Goldberg being Goldberg plus about a decade of ring rust, I'd want to see that for the train wreck.
And I'd wonder if the crowd would shit all over that as much as they did at Brock versus Goldberg.
Well, that was because you had a bunch of marks in the crowd who knew both were leaving.
Yeah, a certain website spoiled that they were leaving, and well, it was in New York, and well, that sort of thing happened. So, CM Punk ended up winning this match when Paul Heyman pulled out a kendo stick, went to hit Punk, referee stopped him, and then a low blow, yes, a low blow to Ryback allowed CM Punk to pick up the victory. A match ended with a low blow.
As it should?
You would assume a low blow should end any sort of contest.
Well, you know, in a realistic manner, if I turned around and kicked you or Omega in the nuts, I think that'd be the end of the fight.
It would be the end of the fight.
So, you know.
But it's something.
Good on him for being realistic for once.
It's something you really don't say. It's like, huh, he low blowed him. Hmm, how about that? It happened. It was pay-per-view. He won by low blow. Mm. Punk's probably like, I have this creative finish. I'm going to kick you in the nuts and beat you. See you in the ring. So, CM Punk wins. The story will continue Monday night. And then, it's time for the main event.
Can Heyman ask for a divorce now?
He looked like he was worried a little bit.
If he gets the divorce, does he get half?
Do you really want half a Ryback?
There's not much there to start with.
You get all of his fancy singlets, or half of them.
You get his Skip Sheffield gimmick.
Because that's what everybody wants. So, we should mention earlier in the evening that the authority left the building and put Brad Maddox in charge. So, at this point, we have a video package for the main event, hyping it up, getting everyone set, really good video package, and then blackout. Pay-per-view feed cut out. There's a blackout in Buffalo. Yeah, it happened.
Like, right before
the main event.
The main event.
Uh-huh. So it's not like I don't know exactly what happened. I know all pay-per-view feeds were cut, so maybe it was in the truck and not in the arena. Haven't heard anything about the arena, but there was a blackout in Buffalo that they had something happened where every pay-per-view feed got cut.
All I can say is thank God it happened then and not during a match.
Not during the match, yeah.
Yeah.
Just like one of those things, huh? What?
And Daniel Bryan hits the running knee. One. Gone.
Mm-hmm. So,
and then,
yeah.
and then we come back to Big Show in the middle of the ring. What?
Yeah, Big Show in the middle of the ring. Both everyone else is down. He's up on the turnbuckles. Like, what? What?
What happened? Huh? What happened now? What? So there was a blackout, and then we got the match. Randy Orton, Daniel Bryan. Pretty good match.
It was on par with what they did last time, with the exception of the ending.
Mm-hmm.
Like they can put on a good match, and that's what they did here. Sure, it's not a show stealer, but it's okay for them. You know, we're gonna get it again next month, except this time it'll be in a Hell in a Cell.
Which is, if you think about it, the logical place for it to conclude is inside a Hell in a Cell. We actually get a feud that deserves to be a Hell in a Cell where no one can interfere.
And yet somehow they'll probably have somebody interfere.
Well, last time it was a crooked referee, but thank you, Brent Maddox. But yeah, it's we speculated last week on the show, talked about it on the rack, where it's a logical finish for a draw because you really didn't know who should win this match. We all hemmed and hawed trying to figure out who should win, and well, there's a reason why we hemmed and hawed, because there was no winner.
Oh boy. Yeah, you know what's best for business? Guaranteed 2 months without a WWE champion. What?
Yeah, two months with no WWE champion and more Daniel Bryan hate. Yay. More Big Show being treated like a bitch. except he's like getting angry now, but they'll still treat him like a bitch at the drop of a hat.
Well, now that Triple H owns his home, Big Show will have no place to go.
Yeah, well, that's the thing that gets me, though, is like Big Show's finally fighting back, and now they're doing, you know, all these real extreme nasty things to Big Show to keep him under control.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically, at least in my opinion, if any boss in the world was to do the stuff that Triple H and Steph are doing to the Big Show, they'd be under friggin' federal investigations. You know, it's mind-boggling how much they're trying to stretch reality with this storyline.
By the way, Big Show, we've kidnapped your wife and we strapped a bomb to her head.
That's tomorrow night on Raw.
You have to keep driving the bus for 60 miles per hour and it can't go any lower.
I just like the idea of just Triple H just standing there with one of those like cartoon 80s doomsday button controls where it's just a block, a button, and an antenna sticking out.
Yeah. This is pretty much where it's going to. It's like, We've gone beyond, you know, wrestling villainy. We've gone into cartoon super villainy at some point with this. When does Triple H try to feed Big Show to the sharks with laser beams on their head?
TLC. Because you know L is for
Big
laser.
Show, we've tied your wife to some railroad tracks. Now, you either punch out Daniel Bryan, or the Express hits your wife. Either or. Like, I'm trying to figure out just, like, how cheesy and stupid they could get with this.
I'm sure they'll think of something. Just, It's like after tonight, yeah. I'm actually surprised that there's a lot more focus now on Big Show than the WWE title picture.
Basically what it is.
Yeah,
you've thrown away all the build up for Daniel Bryan and this feud with Randy Orton, which has debatably been handled, mishandled, left and right, over and over. Some has been good, some has been bad, and you know. But you still root for Bryan. You still want him to overcome. You still want him to win the belt. We've been going on about this for this long, ever since Cena and Bryan in the first place. So that's what, 3 months of storyline of Daniel Bryan chasing this belt.
I think we're running into what, month three, month four.
Yeah, it's been a while since SummerSlam and Cena picked his opponent.
But
you threw it away to get Big Show over. Like, somehow in the midst of this, his story somehow became more important than Daniel Bryan's. Like, I don't mind him being involved in the end, but to make it all about him?
And I'll be honest, like, the switch of the story has, it's done what it's need to. I'm more interested in the Big Show right now than I am in the world title picture.
Yeah.
Because I now have no interest in seeing Orton, Bryan 3, 5, 1800 or whatever it's going to be in Hell in a Cell. You know, Bryan could win the belt and be like, yay, Bryan, good for you. You know, they've killed all enthusiasm for the title change. They did what we fucking said they shouldn't do. I believe, Omega, you pointed this out months ago.
Yeah, pretty much.
And I will say it so Rock can clip it. Omega was right. So, yeah, it's just we no longer care about the World Heavyweight title, or WWE title, or whatever one they're going up. I can't even tell the belts apart anymore, I don't give a shit.
Big, big gold. Big W.
Either way, they both don't mean shit right now. More interested in watching the Big Show go apeshit and punching people out than your main title belts.
Yeah. Like, I'd still have some investment in Daniel Bryan's storyline if Big Show went the full route of, like, pulling Bryan on top of Orton, throwing another ref in, and getting the belt back on Bryan where Triple H doesn't want it to be. Because not only does that actually get the belt on Bryan, but that's Big Show sticking it to Triple H even more.
Mm-hmm.
And even though that ending is... it would be disputed as all fuck. And it's like, how the fuck do you even... if you can count the... if the fast count means, no, vacant title, no one's champion, fuck you all. The way WWE writes, if Big Show had actually done that, despite all the bullshit that went on in the ending, it would have counted. It would have counted it for the sake of the storyline.
Switching gears slightly, why was Scott Armstrong there?
Because they wanted to give people hope of another controversial finish.
But wasn't he fired?
That's what makes it controversial. He comes out. He does the three count. All of a sudden, Triple H has another reason to strip the belt off Bryan. That's what it was. That was your red herring ending.
But he came in and was going to kill Daniel Bryan down.
See, the smart writer would go, well, clearly Triple H was in this from the beginning clearly what happened was Triple H was the one who wanted the fast count to give him an excuse, a little bit of money to Scott Armstrong. Okay, if Daniel Bryan's going to win this, if he can't do anything about it, fast count it so I can strip him tomorrow night. And if you'd actually work that in, it would make sense for him to come out again and be Triple H's personal, his personal Nick Patrick, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this is one of those things, like when Omega said that this feud has been mishandled, here's another example of it. There's so many ways that this could have been twisted and fixed up, but again, as I said in our chat when it happened, if this was on Raw, heading into a pay-per-view, it would have been a brilliant finish. Because there's a bit of controversy, a bit of, what's going to happen at the pay-per-view. We have, a non-finish heading into a pay-per-view. But we have a non-finish on a pay-per-view designed to set up Hell in a Cell now that nobody gives a shit. It felt like a very lackluster and terrible, terrible way to finish a pay-per-view.
Here's the thing. Think back to things I've been saying about Hell in a Cell all along. When you have a pay-per-view titled Hell in a Cell, are you really going to book like did Daniel Bryan versus, let's say he turned heel tonight, the Big Show for the WWE Championship out of nowhere? No. The next pay-per-view is Hell in a Cell. It's going to be Orton and Bryan again, so you're expecting something screwy to happen.
For some reason, I'm thinking, and this just popped into my head, that it's going to be Orton and Bryan with Big Show as a referee.
No. No, I can't see that. I think they're going to basically use the Hell in a Cell to keep Big Show out of it.
Why would they want to keep him out of it? You're going to watch for the next month. They're going to manipulate the shit out of him. So what better way to sort of end this, both storylines at the same time? You have Big Show gets manipulated, put down, and everything like they've been doing. Big Show has his big snap moment, sort of like he did tonight, but he does it at the pay-per-view. And because he's the official, he can turn around, punches Orton. 1, 2, 3, Brian wins. Sorry, Trips, you can't do anything about it. I was the official put in charge. Yeah, you can try and strip him, but there's no real proof that anything happened. I was the guy in the stripes. I didn't see any punch. If Big Show gets the big revenge, Hell in a Cell is where it's got to happen. And you can close off both storylines at the same time.
I'm not feeling that one. But that's just me. I can't see that working out. What do you think, Omega?
I think I'm depressed.
Think you're depressed? Well, cheer up. Tim's not here. Even that can't bring you up.
No. Can I go see the Rhodes match again?
Yes, you can. If the pay-per-view ended there, you know, that was your feel-good moment of the night. So yes, we leave the pay-per-view with no champion, neither Daniel Bryan or Randy Orton hold the title, and it's still vacant. And it makes the one person who's running the Twitter WWE vacant very happy. He can still exist. So yeah, that was the pay-per-view in a nutshell. Now it's time for the results of Pick'em. Omega, you came in last.
Good.
You were 1-2.
I won. Oh, 1-2. Yeah, because
he never made any.
So many of the matches were booked last fucking minute. I didn't have the chance to predict any of them.
Yeah. Lindsay went 8-1, so she was the overall winner for Bragg Rights. Tim went 7-2. Gotta give him some credit, maybe. Not really. Sort of. Michael Peterson from the chat room was 7-2. Rob was 6-2. Me and Mace were 5-4. Subway was 5-4. Kingkins and Jersey Girl were 4-5. Ace was 4-4. Tommy was 2-1. So there you go. There's your quick rundown of the Pick'em Challenge for Bragging Rights. And as Lindsay says, 2 months in a row, bitches. Now, can you make it 3 in a row, Lindsay? Can you predict it that much? Because you're the mole, since you know what's going on.
Please.
Just play the one out. So that's Battleground Pick'ems. So we'll be doing Pick'em next week for TNA Bound for Glory. Next week here on the show.
Yay.
God.
So
I hope you enjoyed your D+ pay-per-view.
Yeah, great it. D+.
Yeah, you had one good match, a shit ton that were booked at the last minute that had no build-up, no investment, bullshit endings, complete 180 on what storyline they gave a fuck about at the end. This was shit. This was absolute shit.
Mace?
Yeah, I'm going to go a bit lower than Omega. I'm going to go a D- on this one.
Wow.
This was absolute 95% shite. The Rhodes match was the only thing in this, like, in an overall match that was good. Outside of that, Cesaro doing the giant swing, which you can find as a 1-second gif.
And it's on the YouTube page, right?
Yeah, so, you know, they're your
only two... 300 spins on my screen.
They're the only good moments of this pay-per-view. I, believe me, if people can call up to get their money back, do so. Because this was not worth any money. If you got this for free, call up your cable company and ask for your money back.
Yeah, claim the blackout made you miss everything.
Yeah, exactly. This was worse. This ranks down there with, like, the Great American Bash in terms of horrible, horrible booking.
Yeah. See, I wouldn't grade it as far as a D minus, because I think in my head, D minus is where I put ECW December to Dismember, and I reserve F for anything that manages to be worse than that.
You've got a point. I'll upgrade it to a D.
I figure the Roses and Shield match is worth at least one letter grade.
Yeah, pretty much. I know that people get on me for being negative, but fuck, tonight was a night where I'm warranted.
God. Yeah, when I'm almost falling asleep in my chair watching a CM Punk match, something went wrong.
Yeah. And me being the big CM Punk mark that I am, when I'm going, I'm not entertained by CM Punk, you know something's wrong. So, Rock.
Yes?
What grade about a D-plus are you giving it?
C-minus? The Rhodes family match brought it above a D, and I was okay with the finish because I kind of predicted that's how it would sort of go. So, C-minus. Just slightly below average. Just slightly below. Wasn't the best pay-per-view. It sure as hell wasn't December to Dismember.
Came close.
Came close, but think about what we...
All it needed was a shitty elimination chamber, and it would have been bloody perfect.
But here's the thing. We will always remember this pay-per-view.
And you know what?
Go ahead.
The Big Show ruined the ending of both.
Yeah.
Well, there's your thing. Never let Big Show be in the finish of a pay-per-view. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this one, we'll actually remember this one for the Black Album. So that's its quality, you know, lasting memory.
But how bad does that put the pay-per-view when the thing to remember is the pay-per-view not happening?
Go ask In Your House Beware of Dog. That's why people still remember it. Where it blacked out, they tried to redoing the main event match, couldn't do it. Had to do it on a Tuesday after Raw, so that they had just do a basic Raw to get to the next night for the pay-per-view, to redo the pay-per-view. Yeah. That was special. So, that's pay-per-view talk. Now it's time for the Great Debate.
Welcome to this week's Great Debate.
Oh my God! Wait a minute! It's Paul Bearer! It's Paul Bearer! And that's gotta be Kane! That's gotta be Kane! And I am the new millennium for the World Wrestling Federation! Well, for those of you who don't know me, I am Chris Jericho, your new hero, your party host, and most importantly, the most charismatic showman to ever enter your living rooms via a television screen.
If this is who we think it is, and we have every reason to believe that this is the human being that has been stalking The Undertaker's wife...
Now, step into the ring with us for this week's Great Debate.
As our Great Debate continues on, this week it is Stephanie McMahon versus Chyna. Omega, you're up first.
I'm trying to even remember Stephanie's in... Because China just kind of walked out.
Yeah, China just popped up with Triple H and Shawn. And Steph pretty much appeared during the Ministry saga.
China's memorable moment debut was choking out Marlena from the crowd. It was the Vince McMahon. Who is this Amazon? So what you
I'm going to go with Stephanie just because there's more payoff.
Stephanie,
it's a little bit more. There's a little bit more emotion to it.
Well, I'm going with China because I remember China's more than I do Stephanie's. For the moment where she choked out Marlena, people were like, "What? Who is that?" So I leave it up to you, Mace. You're deciding vote.
Stephanie.
Why?
Because she debuted during a better storyline and wasn't choking somebody out, and I could actually remember Steph.
Okay.
That and Steph hasn't put out a goddamn sex tape that caused my eyes to bleed.
But if she put out the sex tape, you would...
I'd watch the hell out of it. Stephanie, hey, even the older Steph's got, the fucking sexier she's become. Let's be honest.
There you go. Now for debuts, it's Miss Elizabeth versus Karma. Mace.
You know what? Even though it was short-lived, Karma... The build-up packages were done so well. And then just having her come out and destroying bitches? Fuck yes, that's how you bring a dominant female into the company.
Omega?
Karma. Like May said, the build-up was great. The payoff to the build-up was even better. It was unique and very different for the WWE. You never had a diva come in who was that powerful, that dominant, that quickly. And, you know, and I still hate that that's chalked up as one of the failed Triple H products, considering the failure had absolutely nothing to do with her performance, because she was fantastic when she was there.
Mm-hmm. And you never know, she may come back. So Karma moves on in the Great Debate. Next week in the Great Debate, it is the debut of Kurt Angle in WWE, compared to Bret Hart's debut in WCW, and Mickie James' WWE debut against Fandango.
Yay.
So we'll get into that next week on WTR Great Debate. But now, it's time for quick hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits. Wow. That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
Alright, we'll start with you, Mace. If you had to choose which person you'd be locked up into a room with, would it be Heath Ledger's Joker or Hannibal Lecter from Silence of the Lambs?
See, both have some really good merits, especially in terms of conversation topics. I'll go with Hannibal Lecter.
Why?
Well, here's the thing. While you will get a very interesting conversation piece out of a Joker, you know he's going to kill you eventually and just, like, you know, slice your throat out or something. At least with Hannibal Lecter, you know he's going to paralyze you, open up your head, and start eating your brain, all while you're still able to continue with that conversation with him.
That's a good point. Omega, this is the hardest question you will ever answer. What is your cereal to milk ratio?
What?
What is your cereal to milk ratio?
Cereal to milk. See, now I'm trying to think in my head how much volume the milk actually takes up compared to the cereal, which has gaps in between it.
This requires scientific evaluation. Quick, to the cornflakes!
I think my ratio is about 60-40, cereal to milk.
Okay. You like your milk then?
Yeah.
Mace, if you could be a black or Asian woman for 1 week, which would you choose, and what would you actually do for that 1 week?
Can I ask for clarification? What type of Asian woman?
It's either black or Asian. There's no...
racist!
No. Because, culturally speaking, depending on what type of Asian person... Well, an Asian woman it would be, depends on the... It also gives the amount of freedom that is allowed within that restriction, within that race.
Yeah.
Whatever
type not to mention the quality of life.
Whatever.
Exactly.
Well, it's up to you.
Japanese still repress women to a very strict degree. So do the Chinese, but the Chinese allow them to have a little bit more freedom. Whereas the Malaysians also... See, I could sit here and...
You don't even want to get into the North Korean, and keep in mind, if you want to talk quality, if you want to talk, okay, how good is my life going to be as a woman for 1 week, technically Russia is part of Asia, too.
Yeah.
Then just be a sassy black woman, then?
Yeah, sure, let's go with that.
And what would you do? Since you can't pick an
Asian... I get to snap my fingers around, call everybody biatch, it's all good.
That's what you'll do for the entire week?
Yeah, pretty much. And just flaunt it.
Alright, and Omega, finally, which would be more creepy, if someone took a cardboard cutout of you to prom, or they took a real doll of you to prom?
Is there even a question?
Yes. What's more creepy?
The real doll is creepier. What? How the fuck would it not be?
Because people actually take cardboard cutouts to proms?
Yeah, but they don't stick their dick in a cardboard cutout.
Just imagine if someone had a real doll of you.
No! There's some things in the world I refuse to imagine.
But you have all these fangirls that would want a TJ Omega real doll.
And God bless them. Good for them. But you know what? If they're going to pay for a custom real doll, I'm sure the planned flight for me would be cheaper.
So you want to hire out Omega, send them an email or on his website, tjomega.org.
tjbootycall@gmail.com.
There you go. King Ken's going to smug my wine night with TJ Omega real doll.
No.
No. You put us on that one. Okay. Well, there you go. That's Quick Hits for another Sunday night here on Wrestle Talk Radio. Tomorrow night is the Raw Post Show live at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Thursday night, it's the Rack at 11 p.m. Eastern. Go back and listen to our interview with Brian Shields that we conducted this past Thursday night. And check it out, rackradioshow.com. Go buy the official t-shirt on the Rack at prowrestlingtees.com/rackradioshow.